This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Place to Be Nation reaction show series. After we missed a pay-per-view due to some technical difficulties, but we are back for WWE Evolution. I am your host, Chris Zellner, and joined as always by my co-host, the Oracle, the WWE, and the one, the only, Devin Hales. And Devin, we missed the show last month, but we couldn't miss this one. Evolution was quite the show tonight.
I'm glad we're able to cover this one. This was quite frankly one of the biggest shows in the history of the company. So it's definitely something that I'm glad we're able to cover, so I'm excited.
Yes, and both of us have been long-time wrestling fans. Me longer than you, since I'm older. But we saw how women's wrestling has progressed in the WWE over the years, and to say that this night would have happened even 5 years ago would have been an amazing achievement. But, how do you feel about the evolution, quote-unquote, of women's wrestling in WWE?
It's certainly a lot better than it was, and I think it's pretty much, by a landslide at this point. I really do think that they've kind of hit the broad points at this stage, in terms of giving the storylines and character development equality with the men's storylines and character development, and they've been giving the women lengthy competitive matches on Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-views for over 3 years now, and they've done the first whatever big first time Hell in a Cell blah 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 and stuff like that, and they've pretty much reached that, basically sort of touched all those broad strokes. Now I think it's more about being consistent with it. And the only other goal that I think they really have to achieve is to actually have a women's match close WrestleMania. That's the last one.
It's the last straw, yeah. And you know what? It may happen very, very soon.
We're wrong. Very possible. Very likely, really. That's kind of the last, big achievement. Other than that, it's about being consistent, and I don't see any reason for them to slow down or to give up on the process. So I think that they're going to continue to move forward with this, and it's absolutely a huge positive. And, when I first started watching wrestling, WCW was still around, but it was in its deathbed, but I was mainly a WWE fan. But watching those shows, I remember, for example, the infamous Trish Stratus stripping and barking like a dog for Vince McMahon segment, watching that live as a kid, and at the time thinking it was like, even I was a very little kid. I thought it was kind of funny, but like, it was just stupid. Even as a kid, it was like, what is this? This is dumb. So we've definitely come a long way from crap like that. This is definitely a pretty big moment for the company in terms of, presentation of women. And I think they hit it pretty hard and succeeded.
It's crazy to think about. I mean, it still is. It's just very crazy to me to think about where we've come from and where we've been, and just seeing the women that were on there tonight that had been in that previous era, and know what they had went through.
Right. I mean, just looking at somebody like a Kelly Kelly, I mean, she came in to literally be a stripper. I mean, that was her gimmick, and that was literally her gimmick for a year and a half on ECW, was to literally have a striptease segment. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a big difference from what it was, and that was only 10 years ago. You know, I guess it was 11 now. God, we're old.
I know. I say it every day.
but you know, like even 5 years ago, you know, they had the if you recall the first episode of Total Divas, the storyline was that they got cut from WrestleMania. And it was the what was the Funkadactyls and Tons of Funk versus the Bellas and the Team Road Scholars, I believe, was the match that was cut. And that was, you know, the focal point of the storyline of the first episode of Total Divas, which was also huge in pushing this you know, this sort of process. You know, that show is
Absolutely.
huge. I guarantee you a lot of the fans there tonight were you know came in because you know they're fans of the network and watch Total Divas and Total Bellas. So that's, you know, that was obviously a huge turning point for the women in WWE as well. But yeah, a lot has changed, and a lot has changed for the better.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you know, the Mae Young Classic has definitely helped in recent memory. NXT's really like the catalyst, I think, for a lot of the change as
Oh, yes.
well. But you know, you can't deny that in the recent main roster years, the Bellas, you know, AJ Lee and people like that, they were laying the groundwork for what was coming up. You know, even, and of course, even before them, Trish and Nikki and Lee and all that stuff, but they weren't given the opportunities.
Right.
Not as, you know, not like even the Bellas and AJ were getting opportunities. So it was a slow crawl, but it's happened, and now we're here. And this was a show unlike any other main roster show this year. And we'll talk about it as we go along, but it was lit differently. The crowd was a whole lot different style of crowd than your normal main roster shows in a lot of ways. I mean, it just felt like a unique experience.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to say one thing about this crowd. And I'll throw in the, because I was said on Twitter, you know, the Jericho crews really helped, because I guess they that stupid thing got all the annoying smart mark males out of the because if you notice, this was not an NXT crowd either. It was not, it was a really, it felt like a really hot house show crowd. In a lot of ways, it really did.
Yeah, and there's a lot of female
Oh
voices could be
yes,
heard as
absolutely.
well.
When Trish came out, it sounded like an 80s show. And I mean that in a positive way. There were a lot of very vocal women and female screams and shrieks. That was it was quite the pop, actually. And it was actually satisfying to hear, because I kind of realized in that first match that this was actually going to be a good crowd, and not necessarily a good crowd that's like the NXT smarky crowd that, you know, says some annoying stuff and, you know, gets annoying and chants for the Undisputed Era when they're not supposed to. And, you know, well, I guess, you know, to be fair, they chanted for Becky, but I'm still torn on whether or not Becky's supposed to be the heel or not. But we'll get into that conversation. But I was pleased to hear this crowd, and it felt like a really old school crowd, in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about the pre-show real quick, which was interesting because no matches. This was also a taped pre-show as well, which is why. This is like this goes to show what the you know the, that this was more of a Triple H production than anything else, because it was like NXT,
Correct.
because NXT pre-shows are taped an hour before. The hour before the show, so because they're taping NXT TV matches, you know, before the Takeover
Right,
show.
because I believe this, I mean, well, I mean, I can say it, I can yell spoiler real quick, but there is a I believe, a Rhea Ripley versus Dakota Kai match that was on this show. So I will say that. Which I am sure will be taped or was taped, I would guess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be shown. But, yeah, that's what they did. So when you saw the pre-show and you saw a lot of the empty seats, that's where people realized that this was taped an hour ahead of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some people saying, well, where's all the fans at? Where's all the fans at? Because we had heard it was sold out. And, yeah, I mean, it was what it was. And the live reports in the building said that the place was about a good 95% capacity. So, very strong house.
Yes.
Revolution and I. So, that's really good. Really, really good. But, yeah, the pre-show's mainly interviews and skits. Interviews, videos, vignettes, what have you. Did a good job of building up everything. Just, you know, it was what it was. So, it was a good job by them to set that up. So people know what was going on. All right. Main show starts with Trish and Lita in the opener. After a rousing guitar performance by Nita Strauss and Lizzie Hale. And, again, different type of opening than any other show that he puts on. And we get Trish and Lita against Mickie James and Alicia Fox. Because Alexa Bliss was supposed to be in this match. But she got concussed. And hasn't been cleared to return to action yet, although supposedly it was said on the pre-show that she was going to wrestle in another match. I never heard that. I mean, yeah, she was in her gear, but I think somebody may have got confused because I thought to myself, if they're going to put her in a match, it would have been right back in this match. It would have been stupid to put her in another match.
Yeah, it would have been very bizarre.
So this is the match they've been building to. But she was at ringside in her gear. And one thing I said about this show as well, all the gear looked really good. Like everybody had new gear. So they were treating this like a WrestleMania type show, gear wise too. A lot of fancy gear. But Trish and Lita, Mickey and Alicia, crowd was tremendous. Match was had its moments, good and bad. Trish looked pretty sharp considering. Lita, not so much, but Lita, of course, has always been Lita. Alicia had her moments, but Mickie James, to me, was the MVP of this match and the gel of this match because she kept everything together. And she basically saved the finish because she ran interference in the ring and gave directions. And if she hadn't done that, then we could have had a big-time botched finish. But she did her part. She did the job to Trish, which was the right finish because of their history, and the match was fun, and crowd loved it, ate it up. What were your thoughts about it?
I actually thought this was a killer opener. I thought this was actually really, really good. I didn't particularly like the build. I thought Trish was really bad in her promo work, building up to the show, and then. And then there was that embarrassing moment last week in the beatdown backstage where she said, this is how we do it in the Attitude Era. And it was one of the most cringeworthy moments, like, in the history of wrestling. and I'm sure she was probably fed that line. But it sucked. Like, so my expectations weren't particularly high. But right when I heard Trish come out and, like, the crowd went nuts, I was actually felt pretty positive about the match and ended up delivering and really over delivering. I totally agree with you. Mickey was excellent and definitely the star of the match. Trish is better in the ring now than she was during her prime. I
pretty
truly
amazing, isn't it?
I truly believe that. And I like Trish. I thought Trish was good, in her prime, but she's like quite good now. I thought Alicia was fine. She's great at physical comedy. I love the bit where they tease the dive and Alicia was like flopping around like a fish. She's excellent at that kind of stuff. Of course, she hit her Northern Lights suplex, which is awesome. Lita's not a good wrestler in the ring, but She was pretty inoffensive tonight, and I actually thought she did pretty well. I was actually quite impressed how seamless she did the counter into the inverted DDT to set up the hot tag. That's something that Lita would, definitely botch because it's Lita. But she really hit that pretty well, I thought. And you know, the only flub of the match was the delayed finish that definitely could have gone wrong. And like you said, Mickey saved it, and everything went fine, and the crowd popped big for the finish. I thought this was a really awesome opener, and I was really happy. It exceeded expectations for me.
Yeah, Trish is someone who they have put on this pedestal for all these years as she's like the woman. And that's fine, you know. That's the company, you know, deal. And I mean, they're not gonna point at Moolah anymore as that. And they really had nobody else. So Trish, of course, is the one you're gonna hang your hat on, and a lot of the women today, they really credit Trish for being an influence for them, you know, so
it,
there is that.
It also helps if she seems like a legitimately good person and role model. I actually watched those panels that they put up on YouTube this weekend, and they were all really good. Specifically the two with the three women in each who were kind of interviewed about their careers and stuff like that. That was really interesting, and I hope they continue to do that stuff with the men and the women for big shows. I really want to see that going forward, actually. But, you know, Trish just seemed so likable and seemed, you know, she's really well-spoken. She's really intelligent. She's someone, you know what I mean, who seems trustworthy. And so I think she actually is a good role model for the women of today. Even though her legend is a WWE created one for sure. You know, she was really over, you know, when she was around full time. But you know, I think in a lot of ways she's actually earned the moniker, just because, you know, for various reasons. I think she's been, you know, really helpful when she's been around, you know, this year with the current roster, She can still go in the ring, and like I said, she's even better now than she was then.
Yeah. And one thing about Trish, too, is that she stayed pretty healthy throughout her career. She quit, you know, when she was still young.
Which is smart, honestly.
yeah. And, you know, every time she's came back, she, like you said, she's looked good. And she also, you know, she has a strong reputation inside the company. Nobody really has anything bad to say about her. So that's always a good thing. Always a good thing. All right. Next, we get the Bellas. They're talking about they were dedicating the match with Ronda to Ronda's mother and invite her to the Bella Army. So there you go. We got that. All right. Next is a 20-woman battle royal. Winner gets a shot at their brand's championship. We had all the women get individual entrances, which was a nice touch.
I love that.
Well, I mean, they had enough time on the show to do that, so that was good. So, we got in order Naomi, Michelle McCool, Sonya Deville, Lunger Blaze, Carmella, Zelina Vega, Kelly, Tamina, Ember Moon, Lana, Maria Kanellis, with Mike and the baby at ringside, Mandy Rose, Molly Holly, Dana Brooke, Nia Jax, Ivory, who is 56 years old and still looks like she's in her 30s, Asuka, Tori Wilson, who still looks almost exactly the same. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce come in last because, of course, they had to do their Iconics promo where they were ripping on Long Island, which that was fine. They didn't go overboard with it and talk about going after the legends in the ring. And, of course, when they got in the ring, they were the ones eliminated by the legends. So they were your comedy spot of the match. And then your legends eventually backed up and all the, you know, the current day women were around them, and that's how the match started. As far as Battle Royals goes, this was fun. I mean, it was all action. The eliminations were, you know, pretty quick. Some of them looked more dangerous than others.
Jeez.
Because one thing you got to remember, too, and this is another difference. We remember this because we've been watching forever. The old women battle royals, the rules were you threw them into the bottom rope.
Correct.
Not the top rope. So you got some of these women like Tori and Kelly and Molly and Ivory. You know, they probably hadn't done many over-the-top rope battle royals. And they were kind of the ones that were having some little bit of issues getting over the top rope to the floor. But, yeah, I thought the storytelling in this match was really good. I liked Mandy double-crossing Sonya, pushing her and, like, oops, making the oops thing. Ember and Asuka squaring off again. That popped the crowd big time. They were chanting NXT for all that, and it was really fun to see them go at it again. Of course, the last ones left were Ember, Nia, and Tamina. And, or so we thought they were the last ones left. And then Zelina showed up trying to get over. And, after Tamina got eliminated, Nia picked up Zelina and threw her on Tamina on the floor in a spot that was tremendously dangerous. Tamina got hit in the face by Zelina's body, couldn't catch her, and Zelina fell face first on the mat.
Yeah, it was.
Luckily, those mats are a little bit better now than they have been in the past. A little bit more safer because that could have been nasty. But we got the storyline of Ember and Nia as the last two in the ring being friends. Nia powerbombs Ember, throws her out, wins, and now has another shot at the title. And for those of you that wonder why Nia Jax keeps getting these opportunities, it kept showing Anna Johnson. It helps to be the right thing.
For sure.
Let's put it that way. And Nia's fine. I like Nia as an in-ring worker, no doubt. But it is what it is. It is what it is. What I mean, Nia and Tamina, same type of situation. But, Tamina's father is Junior Snuka.
Correct.
Who, of course, is not on the best of terms anymore in the company. You know, he's dead. And then, you know, Nia's on the Rock side. And, of course, he's the Rock. So, it helps. It helps to have your advantages sometimes. But anyway, Nia's the winner. Your thoughts on the match? And was that the right call? Should somebody else have won this match?
The match was... I didn't care about this coming in. And I actually really groaned hard when they announced the Battle Royal. Although I fully expected it. But this was really well booked, really well executed, really fun battle royal. A few of the things I liked is that I think they were aware that this was similar enough to the Royal Rumble to where they couldn't just like do the same stuff with the legends getting all their spots again. So what they did was the new legends who weren't in the Royal Rumble, Ivory, Maria, and Alundra Blaze, they got their spots in. And the other legends were actually fodder for Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville to build up that little story of them eliminating the other legends and then Mandy double-crossing Sonya at the end, which I thought that was really nicely done. I just think that it was really smart to, not to say that I would have disliked, Michelle McCool or, Molly Holly or somebody like that, you know, Kelly Torrey getting their moments, but I thought it was really, really good booking that they were kind of self-aware that, okay, these women got their moments in the Rumble. They're still good to be on this show and still good to be in this match, but, you know, this is we want to highlight the few legends that are in this that weren't in the Rumble match and also to push the narrative and push forward the current roster and help build some stories there. And I thought that was really a big strength of the booking. I thought there were some fun little moments. You know, the Carmella bit was with Ivory was amusing, and you know, the pin over to R-Truth, who was complete goofball and amusing in the pre show and during the show.
I'll tell you what. We haven't done anything since the whole R-Truth Carmella thing. I think it's my favorite part of SmackDown right
now.
Oh,
it's very entertaining.
They've turned Carmella into someone who I could not really stand to watch, although she was really good at doing what she did as far as gimmick-wise, but not in the ring. And now they've completely turned her babyface. She looks amazingly better with her hair, that color. Tremendous. And she is showing great charisma and having fun with R-Truth. Has revitalized R-Truth. Their True TV stuff has been pretty hilarious. I really dig that combo. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? R-Truth and Carmella.
It's
of all people.
It's pretty amazing. I dug that bit. I think Ivory did a cross body at one point, like a flying cross body.
Yes, 56 years
she's
old.
She's in great shape and still as wacky, she's a freak. Wacky and fun as ever.
Dancing with Carmella. Yeah, and Ivory was once a Raiderette.
Yep.
In the 80s. So she has a dancing background.
And also a member of GLOW.
That's correct. Right.
Of course, Ember was outstanding in this match and was a massive over babyface. And
that's who I thought should have won the match.
Very, very over. The showdown with Asuka was great. And that was a cool, I figured she didn't, that was sort of a big moment for her to eliminate Asuka. It was kind of, thrown in and hidden in a battle, but it was still meaningful. Even if it was a small mini victory, it was a meaningful one. And I liked that bit. The Tamina Nia stuff was really good. Tamina looked okay, actually, for the most part. Yeah. And I think Tamina is a terrible wrestler, but she worked hard and did pretty well. And then of course the Zelina bit was really well done because I totally forgot she was even like not out of the match. And so that was good. And then the crazy bump and spot with her getting Gorilla Puss slammed to the floor onto Tamina's face, onto her face. The last little showdown with Ember and Nia before Zelina came in, and then afterwards was very well done. And Nia actually got a nice enough reaction, I think. And I'm actually not that upset about Nia winning because I thought Ronda versus Nia was the best Clash of Titans style match.
It was a good match, absolutely.
Between
right.
men or yeah. women, and since like SummerSlam 17 with the four-way, that match was incredible. And I'm sort of happy that they might be going to a rematch because I really want to see one. But I actually, I also want to see Ronda run the gauntlet too, and see Ember get a big title match because Ember doesn't have to beat Ronda; she just has to be in a competitive match with her. And it would be nice to see Ember get that spot, and she very well might at some point in the near future. But I'm okay with an Nia Ronda match for the time being, and I hope that they do it at Survivor Series, and I hope we get a Nia Ronda encounter 2.0 sometime in the next few months, hopefully.
Maybe, but hey. It's funny that the
we could
the last battle royal
we could get an Nia Becky one too.
So yeah, but it's funny the last battle royal that we had this situation happen in at WrestleMania, which Naomi won.
Oh, gosh,
she hasn't got any opportunities at the title, which she mentioned on Twitter last week.
True, very true.
And then never even mentioned she won the battle royal on the show, which it makes you think that they're trying to make you trying to forget that whole situation with the Moolah situation. So that that basically didn't even exist, but I thought Ember would have been a great pick as a winner. Speaking of people are always protected, Michelle McCool, everybody, pays off to be married to the Undertaker. Absolutely, absolutely. So it was fun, and Battle Royal. It's the third women's battle royal we've had this year. Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and this one. But they've all been different in a way, so it's fine. And it's the only way you can have your Kelly Kellys, your Tori Wilsons, your Alundra Blazes on the card. you know?
Right.
You're not putting them in singles or tag matches. You just can't. So, and Kelly, yeah, still looks good, folks. Oof,
my goodness. Well, hell, she's only 30.
I know. Yeah, we forget how young she was when she started, but man, she looks great. All right, next match, the Mae Young Classic Finals. Toni Storm against Io Shirai. The Mae Young tournament has been pretty strong this year. Mikko Satomura was probably the best worker in the tournament, but there's a reason why she's not in this. I mean, she has her own thing, and she's not in a contract. These two are. And Tony in a certain way, EO in a proper way, but it made sense to have these two in the finals. They have a history, and they went out there and they had a pretty damn good match. I think though that it wasn't as good as last year's Mae Young Finals, but still good enough. EO is tremendous, and she didn't even look the best she's looked in the tournament. But she's tremendous. She's going to be big time in NXT and eventually when she gets the main roster. Toni Storm has a presence. She has charisma. She has the look. The crowd gets behind her. She's only 23 years old. So she's got a lot of room to grow, but she's not there all the way yet as a worker, but she's got so much to work with, and she's going to be an amazing performer. Once she gets everything down pat, she's going to be amazing. And she shows a lot of potential, and she looked really good here as well. She got the win, which that tells you what they think. They're going to start pushing her eventually. You know, NXT UK is going to be her deal. Her and Rhea Ripley are probably going to be the main feud there, and I'm sure that'll carry over to the main NXT brand as well. But, yeah, it was good stuff, and they won the crowd. That's one thing we got to know about this crowd, too, is it seemed like the crowd wasn't really familiar with the NXT.
It's very much a house show crowd.
It's, like you said, very much a house show crowd. They weren't familiar with the NXT women. But in both matches, which we'll talk about the other one too, they won the crowd over and got them into it. And props to the ladies for doing that. So what's your thoughts on the match?
This was a good match and a very good one. And I think it did deliver, but this is the match where I'm going to play bad cop. And I know you have a match where you're going to play bad cop too, and I think you're probably going to be a little bit more meaner than I am for this match. But I know you and I will have a different big one, and obviously I'm saying I understand and we'll get to that, you know, we'll get to that soon. But this match I actually think was a disappointment. I actually do think it was better than last year's NYC finals. Actually, I thought last year's NYC finals was terribly hurt by the crowd, mostly because it was at a terrible spot. Remember, it was like after like SmackDown or whatever. It was just a weird like time, and it was just a bad place in terms of timing, like within a show. This match was very good, but I think that they needed to exceed my expectations and they didn't. And I also thought it was a little bit oddly worked, not in the sense that nothing they did was wrong, and I think they absolutely have to be commended for getting the crowd to be invested into the match and, you know, getting into the match. They absolutely did that, and they achieved that, and it was very good because of that. But I was taken aback by, honestly, how short the match was. Look, the match didn't have to go, like, Okada Omega long, for God's sake. I was expecting maybe 4 or 5 more minutes added on, and I was also a little bit surprised at how dominating Toni Storm was on offense in the match. And that's not even a shot on her. I just thought that she had a little bit too much offense. I thought it should have been worked a little bit more evenly.
Well, here's another thing too, real quick. This, I mean, the way this match was positioned, and the way it just felt, it didn't feel as important.
No, it didn't. That's actually true. And the thing is, last year's was presented as more important. That's absolutely true. And that's a point in last year's favor. Although I did think this year's match was better overall in the ring. I also think, look, both girls are very good tonight, but I don't think Io really hasn't blown me away yet. I do think she's good. I think she's very good. But, you know, part of it could be that, you know, she clearly has wanted to be in WWE for a very long time. And, you know, part of that could be nerves, but I haven't really noticed that out of her. And part of it could be just she's still adjusting to the style of how WWE, you know, does, you know, works with WWE style. And there is a difference there. I think it took Kyrie time to adjust. I actually think Asuka was the one who learned the quickest out of the three main Japanese women who came over. Well, Mako too, but Mako kind of does. I mean, she counts, but not really, because she was only in the tournament proper. But Io, I'm still. I think some people have been really harsh on her. That I've seen some people make some tweets that were pretty harsh. I'm not that harsh on her. I still haven't quite seen this. Her best match was the one against Rhea, and I thought Rhea was really the standout in that match, although Io was very good in the semifinal match last week. But otherwise, I think she just had showcase matches in the tournament, which is fine. You're supposed to have a showcase match in the first round, but I sort of felt the same way in the second round. I'm not completely sold on Io yet, and I've never been a big Toni Storm fan. But I just think this match wasn't as good as it should have been, which sounds like a really bizarre complaint. But I was actually like, man, like, I really wanted this match to be better than it was. But that's not to say the match wasn't good. I was expecting more. You know what I mean? The match was good.
You're expecting more, like I was, yeah.
It's probably seems like a weird criticism, but I just. To me, it felt like this was supposed to be the work rate match of the show, and it really was worked like a work rate match. But I feel like they didn't deliver as much as they should have. Even though I think they did deliver, I think they should have gone above and beyond what they actually did. And that's my criticism of the match. And I actually think it's the match that I came out most disappointed of all night, for sure.
Yeah, like I said, I think we were both expecting more, and we didn't get what we were expecting. So, I mean, it is what it is, you know. And you mentioned Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley, she's probably the star of that tournament. The way she has transformed herself in every way is tremendous. I mean, she is fully dedicated to what she is doing. And she's on fire right now. And yeah, she's going to be a big star. I mean, she has the intangibles. She's going to be a star, man.
Oh yeah.
I'm definitely waiting to see how, you know, they use her, because I mean, she's got something that, you know, a lot of the women don't have.
I'm definitely a big fan of Rhea. She's very, very good.
Yes. So, absolutely. So we'll see what happens now with Tony as the Mae Young 2 winner. All right. Next up, we get Bayley, Sasha, Natalya against the Riot Squad. And of course, these women have been feuding in different ways for months. And usually, the Riot Squad has been taking it on the chin. They did it again tonight. the match was actually, there was a few spots that were really iffy, but all in all, it was a pretty good match. It really was. I liked the finish run, but yeah, there was some spots there that were kind of rough. And thank God Sasha didn't get hurt on her attempted to make a heel to the floor, where she hit her all apron.
I don't know why
they pulled her off.
Slow motion on it was weird. But
yeah, it was weird how that happened. And yeah, I mean, those things happen. But Bailey hit this crazy dive too that the camera just barely got. Like dangerous as shit towards the end there. But yeah, they got the win, and Riot Squad does another job, which you got to give these women a big win somewhere along the way. I know there has been some TV wins, but you got to give them a big win on a big show. You got to, if you want to keep them as a faction. So, I don't know. No angles surrounding this match at all. Nothing going on. Just a straight match. So, what was your thought?
I really like this match. I think it's probably the most underrated match of the show in some ways. I think the sloppiness actually added to the match. I think it's obvious during the agenting and you know, probable discussion of the match beforehand, the ladies are probably thinking, hey, let's go out there and do a friggin' Shield six man. And that's basically what they did. And they really did an admirable job and really busted their asses. And I think they really accomplished that. I really, really enjoyed this match. It wasn't blow away great or anything, but I think it was a really, really good mid-card match. You know, something you would see out of a Shield TV six man from 2013 and 2014. You know, it was a really well done match. I thought the Riot Squad were awesome with all the double teams and worked really well as a unit. And they did a double FIP with Sasha and Bayley. I mean, this match got a lot of time. I thought Natty, who I'm not a fan of, was you know, pretty inoffensive and hit her spots well enough. And you know, the finishing sequence was excellent. With Bayley's dive and Sasha doing the ode to Eddie with the frog splash, and it was a really, really, really good match. Here's the thing about the Riot Squad losing a lot. I'm totally with you that they need a big win. I absolutely agree with you. But, and we've both been watching wrestling for a long time and WWE for a long time. They value the Riot Squad, and someone back there is a fan of them, because if they weren't, they wouldn't be getting these showcase matches. Like, I really think somebody likes them. Either it's Triple H's influence, or it's Vince and Kevin Dunn just thinking that they're funny because they're goofy Riot Squad or something. Even, you know, somebody likes them, even if they're not winning the matches. You know, I would not have believed a month ago if you would have told me Riot Squad would get a 15-minute six-man tag on a show where there was a 20-women battle royal. But they did. You know, I 2 months ago, I wouldn't have believed that they would have been in two showcase six-man tags with Ronda and the Bellas that both got time at an Australia Super Show and at a big spot on Monday Night Raw. And I wouldn't have believed that Ruby Riott would have had an excellent, by the way, and that's a match that people should watch, excellent match with Ronda Rousey on Raw. You know, a few weeks back, that was really, really good. Like, that match was excellent. They really do value the Riott Squad. So I'll defend it in that, but I really do. I absolutely agree that they do need to pick up a win, a big win at a big show. And that needs to happen soon. Although I have my doubts, but I do think that they are valued by the company for sure.
You know, one thing too is that the women are in a different position than the men on these shows, on the TV shows, because there's not as many. So what they need to do is they really need to mix them up more than they do the men, because, I mean, who are any of these women going to face now that's any different, really? You know, they face, in the Riot Squad, there's really no other baby faces to face. They've been facing the same ones. I mean, they've had their stuff with Ronda. They've had their stuff with Bayley and Sasha. I mean, maybe Ember somewhere. I mean, but they've had stuff with Ember too. They really need to start mixing these women up a little bit better. Even if they just add more, if you need to take some of the women from NXT, bring them up. They got to do some both shows. It's just getting monotonous to see the same matches with the same women all the time. And they do it with the men too, which is no excuse because they got more men on the roster.
Right.
But I mean, we need some fresh matches, and I don't know where they can go with these women. Unless, you know, only way you can go about it is do some major turns. But that wouldn't be right, you know. Just we need to have some new people, new blood.
The depth is still an issue. They made a tremendous improvement on the depth about a year ago, when you know, in the weeks leading up to the Rumble announcement, because they had to.
Yeah.
I think it's time to make some more depth for the next Rumble, because that's already being advertised, obviously. And you know, they will have that 30-woman Rumble match that's already been advertised in the ads and stuff. It's just, you know, they need to move some people up. You know, maybe it's time to move, you know, Kyrie up. Obviously, that, you know, we'll get to that here in a minute. But, you know, it seems like Kyrie's got some business to handle on NXT for a little bit longer. But, you know, I think around Survivor Series time, like they did last year with the Riot Squad and with the Absolution, it's time to bring some ladies up, because they need it. And there's plenty of women working the friggin', you know, coconut loop or the Tampa loop or whatever the hell it's called that people joke about all the time. The Ocala loop.
Well, you got,
you know, that aren't even getting on NXT TV. So, you know, it's time to make some adjustments and move people up and move people around.
I mean, whether it's Lacey Evans or Aaliyah or Bianca Belair, you know, on the heel side or even on the babyface side, you mentioned Kyrie or somebody like that. I mean, they need to, or even Dakota Kai, you know, they just need to get some people up, man. They need to do something. Let's get a little freshness, for sure. That's for sure. Well, speaking of NXT, next match was the NXT Women's Title match. Kairi Sane defending against Shayna Baszler. These two have been feuding all year long, and then since last year in the Mae Young class. So a full calendar year plus here that these two have been going at it. And this is a hell of a fucking match to me. I love this match. These two women were just taking it to each other, playing off of their previous matches, stiff offense. Both of them played to their strengths really well. Kyrie's dive from the top rope to the floor and the way they shot the whole thing was excellent. Loved it. I love the whole presentation, this match, and the fact that they brought out Jessamyn and Marina to help out Shayna, I thought was interesting, because it showed that Shayna couldn't win this title on her own anymore, and she had to have help from her colleagues, and it worked. So now we have a situation where the horsewomen are now an official thing on television, and they were pushing it on commentary too. So now we begin with that as a deal. And there you go. There's two more going to NXT now. There's going to be spotlight on television. And Jessamyn and Marina with Shayna. So now that's even more of a backlog down there. But, I love this match. DDT Kairi hit at that point off that counter was awesome. There's a lot of great stuff. The submissions, the passing out from the Kirifuda clutch was great. And these women won the crowd over, because when they came out, I mean, there was like hardly any reaction, especially for Kairi. It was pretty sad in a way that she didn't get this, you know, a real big pop. But they took care of that. They won them over in the match. So, at this point, this match to me was easily the best match in the show so far. So both women delivered. Kind of shot to the finish. I thought Kyrie was retaining, and we were going to start in seeing Shayna and whoever go up to the main roster. But we got Shayna as champion. So now the question is, other than your thoughts on the matches, where do we go from here with this now?
Yeah, this match was awesome. I really love this match. I actually liked it better than the at least in some ways than the the match. I thought this match was awesome. Like you said, the drama down the stretch was awesome. The big angle with the horsewomen. Kyrie is just an excellent babyface. She's tremendous working underneath. Great at selling. Great charisma. The dive and the comeback. God, the place was going crazy when she hit the dive. It was really, 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 really good. You know, and a thing that you mentioned about Shayna, you know, winning the title back is, one, I believe she's the only two-time NXT Women's Champion now. The first two-time
Women's NXT Champion.
It's also the first non-clean finish in the NXT Women's title match history. And it's also development for Shayna, and is very well done because she spent the whole time saying that Kyrie did not beat her, she beat herself. And, you know, in those promo packages, and Shayna couldn't beat Kyrie. She needed the help, like you said, and that's good character development. No, I think
and they used the finish from the previous match.
Yep.
And Shayna kicked out.
Yep. Which also shows that Shayna was prepared for that. So it shows that Shayna is still good enough to win and be champion, but that she also needed that help at the same time. It's very nuanced, but it's very good storytelling at the same time. I saw some people complain about that because, you know, of interference or whatever. But it wasn't that. It wasn't a DQ or a countout or some BS like that. Like, and for a show this big, this major, it needed an angle. It needed something like that in order to put it up another notch.
Yeah,
you know, and I think it also, you know, I think it needed that, and I'm totally fine with it. Yeah, the match and angle were great. I liked it a lot.
Absolutely, yeah. And Kyrie couldn't say that she didn't submit. She passed out. She fought till she couldn't fight no more. You know. I loved it. I loved it. And, like you said, the storytelling was tremendous here in a lot of ways. So, one thing that, you know, where we can go from here is there's a chance we could see some women's tag team titles showing up.
Oh, yeah.
So, Kyrie and Io as a tag team definitely could be something for the future.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be shocked to see some Four Horsewomen MMA versus Kyrie Io exchanges or encounters in the near future.
Yeah.
That's something that could be on the horizon.
Oh yes. All right. Next up,
Chris's favorite match.
Well, I mean,
I'm teasing you. I'm being sarcastic, but I loved it. I'm gonna let you go first.
All right, last woman standing for the SmackDown Women's title, Becky Lynch versus Charlotte. These two have built this up very well. They've, ever since SummerSlam, when everything went down, the angle stuff has been very well done. Becky is trying to be a heel. Crowd's not letting it happen. I mean, the way she's being in her character is full-on heel. But the crowd just doesn't want to accept that. Mainly because Charlotte is pretty much always a heel. In a lot of ways. So it's kind of... It's a very intricate position to be in. We'll see. But this match is... There's a tale of two matches here for me. When they weren't using the weapons, when they were just relying on, you know, the normal wrestling type match, this match was awesome. I mean, he could feel the hatred between the two. I mean, they were just giving it to each other. So, if they would have kept it in that way, this could have been an all-timer. As far as matches of this stature. But no. They have to go full on WWE. Last man standing type tropes. Where we break out all the plunder. All the weapons. the chair throwing, the dueling chair throwing spot was so fucking hokey. We had to break up the ladders and the tables. I mean, if I wanted to see that, I would have watched John Cena versus Randy Orton in their Last Man Standing match, or Cena versus Sheamus, or shit like that. Shit we've seen. This felt like, to me, when they were doing all that shit, it felt like I was watching those matches over again. And I expected better. I expected something different. I mean, I know it's last woman standing, but I expected something different. And they did that. It just felt like, you know? So that's what bothered for me. I will say this. I mean, there were some cool spots mixed in. I really dug the whole thing where Charlotte had the figure eight in the ladder. Problem was, they really didn't play off of it afterwards. I mean, Jesus Christ. And they did that silly fucking spot, which I hate anytime they do it, where let's bury the person under a whole bunch of office furniture and let's see what happens. They won't beat the count, and they always do. And then Charlotte is on one knee while Mike Yoda's counting to 10, and he stops so she can fully get up. So they blew that. and I will say this, though. The table spot at the end, the powerbomb off the top rope to the table, was very impressive. And, you know, it looked great. It was tremendous. And see, it would have been a whole lot better if that would have been maybe, I mean, the weapon spot of the match, the big weapon spot of the match. Not already breaking three tables or whatever it was before you broke that one. Because we've already had tables broken. You know? So if that had been the main table breaking spot, it would have been even more tremendous. So what I'll say is this was a great spectacle of a match. And I can see why people would love it. But for me, I was wanting different. I was wanting better. And I got it some, and I didn't get it in the rest. So that's why I'm not as high on this match as everybody else. Well, no, I wouldn't say everybody else. It's pretty polarized.
It is, actually.
It's a pretty strong contingency on both sides. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, and for people that loved it, hey, fine. I mean, I can understand it. But for me personally, I just want it better. So that's my thoughts. You're on the other side of the fence, so you give yours about why you thought it was what you thought it was.
I love this match. I will say that, and of how you feel about it, I understand it. Because the WWE plunder is what it is, and it's definitely something that you can, and anybody can easily get sick of. And I've even stated it before that I've gotten a little bit tired of it, because I kind of want to cover my tracks here, because it's kind of like when people dig up old tweets and you know, tell you, well, you said this one time, but it's you know, there was a podcast we did, I don't think I did it with you, it might have been on Tim and Pete's podcast. Where I was kind of annoyed with the Adam Cole Aleister Black match at NXT TakeOver Philadelphia because of all the plunder spots. Well, I think the thing about that match was I just didn't care about the feud. And this feud, I did care about it. And I also, for me, last man standing matches, I always expect this kind of shit. So it doesn't really... My expectations are always that. I think if this were a Falls Count Anywhere match, Chris, remember like that awesome Charlotte Sasha match from the November 28th, 2016 Raw a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think the one where they went in the crowd. I think that's the match that you probably would have wanted. And I think if they would have had a Falls Count Anywhere match, I think it's a big show, and I don't think it would have been possible for them to avoid some plunder spots. But I don't think they would have done as many, and I think you would have been more pleased if it was a Falls Count Anywhere stip. I actually really believe that. And that's just based off the evidence of the Charlotte-Sasha match. But I think because it was a last woman standing, I feel like they felt that they had to do all this theatrical stuff. And I just
I enjoyed it for the most part. I did think the chair throwing spot was hokey, more so that it took too long and then it lasted too long. And the only other thing I didn't like about the match is I thought that they took, I totally agree with you on the pile, the debris spot. And I also thought that Charlotte's timing on getting up the 10 counts multiple times was very poor, and that Mike Chioda was giving her a lot of leeway, and it was really obvious and annoying. And the crowd did not like that, and they booed the hell out of it. And I thought it was actually detracting from the match some at those moments. And I thought it was the worst in that moment. Really, it was two times in a row, because after the leg drop on the ladder, the leg drop off the ladder through the announce table, I get what they were going for, because it was supposed to be Becky was getting mad that Charlotte might probably get up, so she was going to go attack her. But the timing was off, so they really screwed it up. And then they did the debris rubble spot, and then it was obvious Charlotte was going to get up, and then Charlotte fucked up and didn't get up on time. It was annoying. But the finish was outstanding and insanely brutal. That powerbomb spot was like, it reminded me of when, fingers crossed, something doesn't happen too bad with the Flairs in 12 years, because it reminded me of Benoit during the flying headbutt at TLC 3, if you remember when he went to the flying headbutt and missed it on that SmackDown in 2001.
That was a little different though. I mean, headbutt and a back bump is kind of different.
I know. And plus, like you mentioned, the padding is a lot different in 2018 than it was in 2001. So. I love this. I actually do think there are some people that are probably overrating it a little bit, but I really, really did enjoy this match a lot. I thought the biggest plus and kind of surprise was Becky won, and Becky won clean. Becky won this match outright. In a lot of ways, I think might have made Becky Lynch, honestly. I think her character work has made her in the last couple of months really. And really taken her out of being the literal redheaded stepchild of the NXT Four Horsewomen, but this win was her win that really I think is going to elevate her and actually be on the same level and maybe even above the level of at least Sasha and Bayley and right up there with Charlotte in terms of who are the top dogs of that four woman group. But I like this a lot. Although, like I said, I do understand for you and for those who are not a fan or are sick of the WWE theatrical plunder style stuff. I totally get it. But with these last person standing matches, I always expect it and I often enjoy it. So I love this match.
I mean, you could do it, but don't make it too much.
Sure.
You know? That's the thing. You know, you're right. I kind of figured that we had to. I mean, Becky would have had the win, considering that what the next match was going to be result-wise. So it wasn't as much surprise. I was kind of surprised. I mean, were surprised as much as they were that Becky won that match. It makes sense. I mean, that way Shaw can get her win back, because Becky wouldn't actually be doing a clean job. But I think whenever they do the thing, they want Becky to do the clean job. So, yeah. When Charlotte does get her win, it will be the clean job, not through this. So, but who knows? I mean, where do you go from here with this feud?
I think if they go the Ronda Charlotte route, they might be doing Charlotte as a challenger. I think Becky will. I don't think Charlotte will be Becky.
Well, where do we go here with Becky, though? Who is?
I mean, it's tough to say, man. I don't know.
If they hadn't the fucked Asuka up,
I know.
That would be a right.
That's
opponent.
The biggest crime in the women's division all year. is the total devaluing of Asuka. I mean, she's just been completely thrown under the ground. I mean, it's just.
I mean, let's look at your SmackDown babyface side here, Asuka. They you know, devalued her. Naomi, who rightfully should be getting a shot because she won the Battle Royal WrestleMania.
They don't care about her, really.
They don't care about her. Lana is Lana. Carmella, we just have done all that with her as a heel. So, yeah.
Time to move people up.
Again, time to move people up or switch shows. Now, one thing that happened after the show that was interesting was there was a tweet by the WWE Twitter account about Ronda, you know, being the dominant woman in the company, and Becky tweeted out, nope. So maybe we might have a
Ronda Becky thing down the line. We'll get to the Survivor Series talk, maybe for a few minutes after the main event.
Well, I don't think it's going to be Survivor Series. I don't think they would go to Survivor Series.
No.
Nah. No. But, I mean, maybe it's something that could happen down the line. Let's put it that way. But they're going to figure something out. But I guess we probably won't be done with Becky and Charlotte. I mean, which you kind of, I mean, the, you're gonna get in that situation where you're overdoing
it. Oh yeah. I mean,
people are gonna get tired.
You know, they did that with AJ and Nakamura and sort of AJ Joe too this year. AJ Nakamura more, but you know, it's. But I mean, I guess you know, if Triple H has his hands on the booking, you know, all the big feuds have, you know, are overdone with Triple H as a booker, but.
I mean, well, it wouldn't be as bad if they were on, you know, doing TV stuff all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
that's the big thing. And you
gotta,
know, that's the
gotta
big,
take my
big
shot
problem.
At Paul, you know. But
of course. But I mean, that's the big thing. The big problem with this company is they do all this stuff on TV so much that it just kills all everything. It's just overkill. You know, I love The Shield, and I love the series they had with Dolph and Drew, but Jesus Christ, they wrestled each other so goddamn much recently on every television show, every big show. It's just like, geez, you're just killing us. You're killing us with it. Now it's like maybe we're gonna go a little different turn with the Braun and Drew thing, but still, good lord.
Yeah, it's
and Seth and Dean, but I mean, it's stuff like that. It's just repetitive shit. You're just driving it home. I mean, let's do something different. So, who knows? We'll see what happens with Becky and Charlotte. Either way, I mean, like I said, it was a hell of a spectacle. And for a show like this, the show probably needed a spectacle. So, there. I mean, I'll give it that.
Yeah. That's fair.
It was different than anything else on the show. That's for sure. All right. Next is the main event. Well, before that, they did some of the pimped the Crown Jewel show on the on this show, which got a lot of people riled up. So, hey, what did you think? What did you fucking think they were going to pimp that show? It's a show coming up on the network this week. They're going to shill it. So, it is what it is. All right, main event. Ronda Rousey defending the Raw Women's title against Nikki Bella. I've enjoyed the segments of Ronda and Nikki since the turn. Ronda just brutalizing Nikki 2 weeks ago on Raw was amazing with the John Cena line and stuff like that.
I love that. Nikki. People didn't like it. I loved that. I'm sorry.
I loved it.
I liked it. Like I thought it was great. Like I can sort of get the criticisms, but I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. And the fans loved it too. I mean, they popped. They did. And that's what a lot of people thought anyway. I mean, and watch Total Divas and what Total Bellas.
Absolutely.
It goes with the storylines that they've had about how she felt about John.
Yep.
So that's that. The Bellas to me are better as heels anyway, especially Nikki. So this is what playing to their strengths. I love this match. See, this is the type of match I want. I mean, these women went out there, and you could feel like there was some dislike here. I mean, they did not like each other. We had some hard-hitting offense. Nikki was being Nikki, which, you know, she was throwing her shots. I mean, that spin kick off the top rope looked like it didn't feel that great for Ronda.
Well, it showed, too.
Yes, it did. And I just love the I loved all the spots here, man. Ronda striking was solid. Ronda, I mean, I know a lot of people talk about Ronda shouldn't be selling and stuff. That's one of her strengths.
She's outstanding at it.
She's one of the best sellers in the company. She's tremendous in that role. I got no problem with Ronda selling. Yes, the way she, you know, she's built to be what she is. But goddamn, she's so great at selling. I don't want to be robbed of it. That's what I love in babyfaces is selling, and she's amazing. She's an amazing seller. So let her do it. And you know, there's Nikki has a lot of people that you know don't like her and stuff, but Nikki has you know a track record of being a strong worker and working stiff and doing that type of stuff. So yeah, it makes sense. That rack attack, ooh, yeah, that was a tough one. And then God, when Ronda had the sandwich, the Bella sandwich, which I tell you what, it's a miracle that Bree didn't get really hurt on that landing. Good Lord, but yeah, the finish was tremendous. Ronda getting that small package type. Slam powerbomb off the top rope, then going right into the armbar. Oh, I love that. Ron, and I can't mention forget to mention Ronda. Ronda had a great fucking dive she missed off the top rope too.
Yes,
I mean she's only been wrestling for a few months.
6 months.
She did 6 months. She's maybe wrestled what you say 15, 20 matches at most.
Mm-hmm.
I mean she's amazing.
She's amazing. One of the best wrestlers in the world, really, in some ways.
Yeah, and she delivers in every big match. Every big match she's been in, she's delivered, and been almost if it's not the match of the show, right there at the, right there near the top of the list. So, I mean, when it comes to the prodigies in this business, she's right there on the top of the list with Angle. You know, I mean, she is. She's amazing. So I dug this match a lot. I thought it was the best match on the show. But I was wavering between this and Kairi and Shayna, but overall, I got to go with this one. They did show Nia looking on backstage, so they let you know that, yes, that's there. And then Ronda Vincent went to the top of the stage where everybody was at. The entire locker room was up there on top of the stage for a big curtain call. The women's champions clinked their titles together. Did you catch that?
At the very end, yeah. It was after the video package, right?
Yeah. Becky and Ronda clinked their titles together, so there's that. Ruby Riott hugging on Natalya was interesting, considering. And
I will say Natty and Asuka holding up Charlotte was a nice touch, as someone pointed out.
Yeah. Yeah, your brother had a great tweet about Ruby replying to me, talking about how he hopes that will lead to Ruby marrying Shane and then her being the control of the company in 20 years.
I saw that too.
So that was great, but I saw some people was like, "Oh, that's so fucking tacky." I thought it was perfectly fine. They should have been proud.
I thought it was more modest than the other times they've done it. Way more modest.
Yes. Yeah, all those women should have been proud. They should have been proud. They were part of a hell of a fucking show. So let them have their moment. So, all right, your thoughts on the match and the ending of the show?
The match was great. Yeah, I really thought this was like this really felt like an old school style main event. You know, something that you'd see in like the 80s or 90s with the manager Brie getting involved and Ronda having to overcome the odds. With, you know, basically in a 2-on-1 situation and like making a big comeback and picking out of the finishers. And it was really nice mix of classic and modern stuff.
Absolutely.
The holy shit level fit with the basically the flying arm bar / through the top rope. Nikki Bella taking that bump is horrifying. I mean, with her neck, you know, with her neck history.
Well, she had the other bump to the floor too that looked like it could have been bad. Absolutely.
I mean, it was, yeah, and it was an excellent match. Great main event. You know, great match. Cool little ending. I thought it was representative of how big they feel this show was and how important they treated it when they did the whole WrestleMania style video package at the end. This was an awesome show, and I think they hit a home run with this.
Absolutely. They should be proud. They should be proud they put this on. I said on Twitter, and I hold true to this, I think that they should have one of these types of shows every 4 months.
Yep.
I mean, you need to spotlight these women, because not all of them will get a shot with the way the regular pay-per-views are being dual branded. You know, they won't always get the shots that the men do. You know, you maybe get one or two women's matches at most on those shows. So I have no issues in doing something like this every 4 months.
I agree.
Now, it's different. It's fresh. You know, the crowd did. Pretty much everybody online loved it. And the ones that didn't, were what they were. I mean, they that was to be expected by some of them. But I thought this was easily my favorite pay-per-view of this year that WWE has done. So, yes. Definite thumbs up from me. So, what's your thoughts? Was this your favorite of the year? And thumbs up. I'm pretty sure the thumbs up.
Oh yeah, big thumbs up, big A plus. You know, it probably was my favorite of the year. You know, I think the top three shows of the year. You know, I think the Rumble's close, and I wouldn't think someone was crazy if they put it over. But I also don't think the Rumble had as good of an undercard. It really didn't. So I think I'd probably have this over it. Actually, now that I think about it right now. You know, I think this, the Rumble, and then maybe SummerSlam were the best. And then Money in the Bank was a pretty good show, and that's probably a four. You know, and then all the other shows just weren't very good this year. You know, obviously takeovers are good. But, you know, for the main roster shows, those are the top four shows of the year. You know, this was a... this was the WWE show of the year for sure. It was ambitious, and I think they succeeded. And I'm hopeful, and I fully expect to see more all women's pay-per-views in the future. Probably not any more in 2018. I expect to see at least one in 2019, and I'm with you that they should do multiple a year. And I also think that they probably will do multiple a year and probably multiple in 2019. I saw somebody mention this, and I don't think it's the worst idea. They could do a Evolution, whatever, you know, special name you want to give it. Kind of like they do the takeovers, you know, Takeover Chicago, Takeover Brooklyn, Evolution so-and-so.
Yeah, they can just use right, a city. Exactly. Use a city. Yep.
And you could do it. You know, I don't think you should do it. You know, you obviously can't do it the same weekend or the same month, but you can maybe do it alternative months. You know, like this, somebody mentioned, you know, you could do it, you know, one in July and one in October again, you know, and one in, you know, March. You know what I mean? Like, you can do.
Well, if they went by the way I'm outlining it out. February, June, October.
Right. Yep.
And those months are not against any of the big shows. I mean, February's in Mania, but still it's Mania. Why not?
Right.
I mean, and you could actually do an extra show.
Right, you can.
Because you're going to have that long gap right. between shows.
And you know, if you don't want to do, you know, if you want to do it in June, you know, and, you know, Money in the Bank's usually in June. You can move Money in the Bank to July and move the takeover to July with Money in the Bank, early July, you know. And then... you could do both, but takeover, you know, a three-show weekend like that could be hard to do.
Here's how you do it. You could have the Money in the Bank qualifying matches at Evolution.
Okay, yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, have those matches at Evolution. And then, you know, go to Money in the Bank.
That makes sense. Yeah, you could do that on a Friday night or something. And then do the takeover on Saturday. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, there's ways to do it.
But yeah, you know, that's, you know, but I think we'll get something akin to that hopefully by 2019 for sure. Because I think
it's definitely gonna be in the plan.
Yes, for sure.
So, all in all, a successful night for the company in that regard. A very well received show, and like your brother Dylan brought up, he was trying to figure out a worse match on the show, and I tweeted him out there wasn't any.
Yeah, there really was.
The Battle Royal wasn't bad.
No.
So there was not a bad match on the show. You can't really say. So props to everyone involved. Again, great stuff. All right. That's it for us. We will be back for Survivor Series.
That's right.
In a few weeks. So
17th of November, I believe.
Listen out then, yes.
Or 18th. Or 18th. Maybe it's 18th. I can't remember. Somewhere. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
It would be the 19th.
Is that it?
Yeah, sounds right.
Something like that.
So either way, the weekend, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So there you go. All right, Devin. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
And can't wait to do it again. And this is Chris saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.